Fresh Takes. Welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Customs, Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up here to talk Fantastic Four for our Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here. First order of business. Is Fantastic Four fantastic? And I would like to say yes, depending on your definition of fantastic. I usually use the words good, great, or elite to kind of rate my movies. And if you... For me, fantastic equals great, so I would say yes, this movie is fantastic. But I do have some reservations. And I feel like, and I'm sorry if I'm complaining a lot more in this video than talking the good things, because this movie is mostly good things. But there is one major kind of, like, complaint that I have that I want to talk about. First things first, this movie is better than any other Fantastic Four that's ever come out. I haven't watched the 90s one, I heard bad things, I don't feel like I need to watch it. I have watched Fantastic Four 2005, and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, as well as I think I watched tidbits of like the Miles Teller version of the other one, I think 2015, the Fantastic Four with the four in the middle of the name. That movie doesn't really deserve a whole lot of recognition whatsoever. This movie's by far way better than any of that. If anyone's concerned whether or not this movie was going to be good, this movie's good. This movie's great. This movie's fantastic. This movie does a lot of things really, really well. I would say, in comparison to what it is post phase 3, I've seen some reviewers saying this is the best movie since phase 3 or since No Way Home. And I would like to say that it's in the top 3. Debating between No Way Home, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Fantastic Four, I think it's in that mix. It's there. So I'm going to talk kind of the major premise of why I really like this story. I enjoyed the movie that I watched, but I left the movie theater feeling disappointed. And the reason why I left it disappointed is the same way a teacher would be disappointed in B+ work. You see an A+ student, you see someone who has all the potential to give you an amazing product, and they gave you B+ work. That's kind of how I felt about this movie. I look at it as like baking a cake. There was a lot of ingredients, and those ingredients were like they had the characters down. The actors and actresses who played the Fantastic Four nailed their part. These felt like fully realized characters. I got to see the strengths of each and every single one of them. They played on those parts really well without being like in your face about it, while also kind of like showing their flaws. I'm excited to see these characters in the future. I'm excited to see them in Avengers Doomsday. I'm excited to see them in Secret Wars and beyond. They really nailed down these characters. Kind of just starting from the four, we got the Thing and Johnny Storm. I'll kind of talk about those two and then talk about Reed and Sue. Because that's really kind of where they spit it up. There wasn't a whole lot of Thing. I think he visually looks great. The actor who played him, I forget his name on the top of my head. I know he's a big name actor. He's in The Bear. He was in Punisher. He's great. I enjoy his performance. I think the Thing kind of got short-staffed the most out of the four. We didn't get a whole lot of Thing, but like we got enough of him. But it's hard to describe the Thing because his big storyline was kind of talking to another woman while walking through Yancey Street. And we didn't get much else unless it's in the context of another character. Ben often played as like this uncle character to the Fantastic Four, and he played really well. Actually, I'm getting ahead a little bit. Let's go over the plot. This is going to be a mostly a spoiler-free review. I might throw out a little plot line that doesn't really ruin your experience whatsoever of the movie, but it tells you a little bit more than maybe what the trailers set describe. Except I'm pretty sure they explained it a little bit in the last trailer. The movie's all about Fantastic Four and this lived world. It's been 4 years. It's a whole different universe. Think like if Fox made a Fantastic Four movie that's not connected, but it can be connected. Like that's what this feels like. We get the 60s Fallout TV version, the Jetsons version, basically what people thought the future was going to be like in the 60s. We get that version of New York, that version of Earth, that version of Marvel. We have a lived-in world where the Fantastic Four, 4 years ago, they went into space. They got some cosmic radiation. They get superpowers, and they become superheroes. And then the whole world kind of just watches them and follows their lead. And that's kind of the dynamic at play. The characters of this world, really, it's just the Fantastic Four, and then the world itself is kind of its own character, which is, I think, for the most part, fine. But this movie does feel, especially in comparison to Superman, empty. There's a lot of times where, like, oh, the world's in peril, but, like, the characters that are in peril is the world. Like, the world itself is a character. And that's kind of the best way I would describe it. This movie goes along where Sue and Reed, they're going to get Franklin. They're going to get their baby. They're pregnant. And it's all about them trying to figure out how to make it work. Reed and Sue doing their best to prepare for this child while also dealing with, you know, their lives as the Fantastic Four. And then boom, near halfway through the movie, maybe a little bit before that, Silver Surfer comes saying, hey, I'm heralding your doom. Galactus is coming. And then the Fantastic Four has to figure out the way to stop that from happening. And that is mostly the movie. So going back to the characters, we have Johnny and we have the Thing. I really like the relationship between these two. Johnny Storm isn't Chris Evans' Johnny Storm. I think Chris Evans plays a lot more interesting of a character, and I think it really works for that movie. Joseph Quinn is not Chris Evans, but he probably plays the most comic accurate version of Johnny Storm. And he plays a character that, like, he shows you why he would be on a spaceship in a mission to space. Like, he shows off his skills. He shows off his intellect while also showing off, you know, why he's this hothead Johnny Storm, why he's this flashy, charismatic character. You get to see both parts. But I really love the relationship between Johnny Storm and Thing. I really like just the back and forth between the two, as well as, like, Reed Richards as well. Because you get the same rivalry from the 2005 film, where they're just going back and forth, and they're like, oh man, these guys hate each other. Like, if they didn't get superpowers, they wouldn't be a thing. This movie gives you the same feeling. They're constantly dissing each other, but the moment things go right in their way, they celebrate with each other. And I really love that dynamic, because you see it multiple times throughout the film, where they're just like, oh, why don't you get this right? Oh, why don't you get this right? Somebody goes, right, like, hey, good job. And I'm like, it just, from like as a male who's trying to have more positive male relationships, like, it's just a cool thing to see in movies, because you don't get that so often. So I really like those characters. The stars of this movie, though, the stars of the show is definitely Reed Richards and Sue Richards, Sue Storm. Those two are the focal point. This relationship is their focal point. And this is where we get into, like, spoiler territory, because they go get to see Galactus. They see the Silver Surfer. And, you know, they're more or less negotiating their lives, negotiating the world. And they get thrown this, like, ultimatum at them that honestly would ruin most relationships. And you see it at play. And there's moments where they're screaming at each other, where Sue's like, I'm not doing this. I know you're thinking about it. And then Reed's just like, but it's the... And I really love the parallels at play. Those two characters really made this film. I can't say much more good things about Pedro Pascal in a daddy role. I cannot. He plays it so well. He is this culture's daddy in a really weird... He plays the role too well. Joel Miller, Mandalorian, Oberyn from Game of Thrones, now Reed Richards being the overprotective dad. Did it great. Like, he did great. But I will say the star of the show is Vanessa Kirby. Sue Storm is probably the character that I really love that they just focused in on her. And in the 2005 film, you know, every character has their strengths, but Reed Richards is like, oh, he's the smart man, he's the leader. But in this movie, Reed Richards is all those things in the comics. You know, he's the leader, he is the smart person, but this movie shows you exactly why Vanessa Kirby's Sue Storm is so important. She may not be the intellectual one, but she is the interpersonal relationships. She's, you know, negotiating ways through peace. She's using the foundation, the Future Foundation, her company, and she's talking to other, like, she's negotiating peace deals. She's the person that talks. She's a leader in a different sense than Reed Richards, and they really show that into her character. And another thing is, we get the strong mother like character in Sue Storm, but it's not overbearing. It's very, there's like one scene where you're like, God damn. And I don't think this is really spoilers, but there's like one scene where she's monologuing, where she said, I will leave heaven and earth for my child. And not that she just said it. When she said it, it was super powerful. But the moment she displayed it, it was even more powerful. And I can't get into it without getting the spoilers. But that moment where I was just like, MVP. Most valuable player. Most valuable performer. Or most valuable character, MVC. Like, goddamn. And it was very inspirational. So getting back to this undercooked cake premise that I kind of threw at you guys, the characters are awesome. And the writing of this movie is really, really awesome. These characters acted in a way like, hey, if this all-powerful being is coming to Earth to destroy Earth, you would imagine the most intellectual, smartest people on that Earth would do whatever to avoid that possibility. And we got to see that play out. We got to see Reed Richards play out many different plans. And a lot of those plans failed for like reasons that weren't necessarily their fault. And you get to see them adapt. And so it was just a really cool finale. Galactus comes and they have to try all these different things and it fails. And you get to eventually see like what happens, obviously. But what I'm trying to highlight is the writing behind it is smart. It's refreshing. It's not just like, oop, coincidence, we saved the day. There is a moment of it, but it's earned. It's an earned moment. So overall, like, this movie's great. The looks of this movie is fantastic. Yes, I'm going to say that a lot. And yes, the pun is intended. This movie looks fantastic. This is probably the greatest looking movie in a while, other than maybe Volume 3 of Guardians of the Galaxy, because that movie looks amazing. That movie is a 5-5. So, but this movie looks great. There's a moment where Johnny Storm and Silver Surfer, and we've seen this in 2007, Rise of the Silver Surfer, but just there's just moments between them where you see, you know, the hot flames and the chrome, and they're going through space or whatever they're going through, and they're flying. And there's just so many times where I'm like, God, this is so appealing. This is just visually satisfying. Seeing Galactus as a full being, not just a cloud, seeing him in the middle of New York walking, that's a treat. And honestly, all four of these characters, Johnny Storm looks great. The Thing is probably the only one where I'm like, eh, but for the most part, I enjoy what they're going through. I enjoy the looks. And honestly, there's like a little bit of a change with the Thing that I kind of dig it. Reed Richards when he's stretching looks great. Vanessa Kirby's powers looks great. This movie is a good looking film. Herbie's in it. We didn't really talk about him. He's a character, but he's not like a character. He's a good addition though. Franklin, their kid, he's more of a MacGuffin than anything at this point, but he has his moments. Villains, Silver Surfer, I forget what her comic book character name is. I'm going to just call her Silver Surfer. I don't really care that they switched her gender. I don't think it really makes any difference whatsoever. They're the same character. Silver Surfer, it works. It doesn't have to be anything else. There is a moment where Johnny Storm is now like hitting on Silver Surfer, and that's an interesting part. I like how that played out. And then Galactus is fun. Galactus is like, he is a character, not a cloud. He has his moments. You know what he wants. And you get that sense of ambiguity with him, where it's like, he's not evil. He has a purpose. That purpose is death and destruction, but he has a purpose. And you get to know a little bit of his understandings. If you know the comic books, it makes perfect sense. If you don't know the comic books, you might be confused, but his purpose is stated. All right, let's get back to why I thought this movie was undercooked. And then I'll kind of give it its rating. This movie is two different films in one. And honestly, if you recently watched Fantastic Four from 2005 and then the sequel, this movie is just those two movies combined. Ultimately. In the sense that this movie had the task of not just explaining this new 60s world, it has the task of, hey, this is the Fantastic Four. And we didn't get to see the origin story, but we got to see the origin story. It really felt like kind of Incredibles, Watchmen. We got this like montage. We got to see the different villains that defeated, but we didn't really get to see it. This movie doesn't have a whole lot of action in it, other than when the main action arrives. And when it arrives, it looks great, and we get montages of it. But we don't get a whole lot of setup. It assumes that we know the origin, and it gives us a little like tidbit of it. And a lot of these characters, we jump into this world when they already are mostly established, which is, it works, it's fine, because every one of these characters have arcs, how small or how big, they're there. But so many times through this film, I'm watching it and I'm like, I don't care about this world as much. Of course, Thunderbolts, you know, show the Fantastic Four coming through the dimension in their ship, and you're just like, oh, did they lose? And I will say, like, this, it's not what you expect, but it's not, like, much different than what you expect. Like, it's not, like, out of the blue, like, oh, I didn't think they would do that. It was like, oh, not what I expected, but okay. Basically, what I'm saying is it's really hard to care about this world because I don't know if we're going to go back to it. And a lot of times, like, they didn't really give us more characters in the world. They just gave us a Fantastic Four. So when that world is in peril, you know, and we have all these Fantastic Four putting their life on the line to save this world, it's hard to care because they didn't properly set it up. And that's more or less where this movie, the problem of this movie, is there's just not a whole lot of time to set up something that feels good. This is like one of those, wow, I'm losing the plot here a little bit. Okay. This movie would be great if this was like a 10 episode series. You keep the production, you keep the quality, and you just stretch it over time where we get to see them going against the smaller villains. We get to see them work as a team. We get to see them, this world more explored, and we get to realize the differences between what this world is compared to our MCU. What is the difference? What's something unique? We get to see a lot of Latveria. Why is Doom missing? Because we get to see the absence of Doom. We don't get to see Doom, more or less. We don't really get to see him. But we get to see his absence. Why is that there? We get to see Mole Man. There's a moment where he's in the movie, but we don't really get to see the conflict. We hear about the conflict. We see the after of the conflict, but we don't get to see the resolution or how they came to the resolution. It seems like that part was cut. There's other villains that were supposed to be in this movie, but it was cut. And so when I'm watching this film, like, there's so many things that would be, that just seem like it's cut, that if we just had more time, this movie could have been amazing. This movie could have been elite. This movie could have been one of the greatest superhero projects we got. The ingredients are there. The characters are there. The director and the writing, like, it feels like it's there. But they would, it seems like Marvel would rather give us a 2-hour movie rather than a 4-hour epic. And this is what this movie needed. This is what this story needed. This is what this premise needed. I don't think this is what Disney is going for. I think they want an excited story that gets butts in the seats and then sets up Doomsday. And that's what this movie did. And they played it safe. It's a B-plus movie. And so, ultimately, it's a great film. It really is. But it could have been so much more. And so I left the movie feeling just disappointed, being like, ah. There was greatness here. There was possibly the greatest MCU movie here if they let it happen, if they would have broken that 2-hour mold and told us the 3-hour epic that it really should have been. So I'm calling for a director's cut. I want to see a director's cut of this movie. I want to see Mole Man. I want to see the other obscure Fantastic Four villains that they fought before Galactus to really build up this world, to really build interest in a world that is at peril. Because I think that's important. This is a doomsday movie for this world. And I need to feel a little bit more of the doomsday. We touched upon it a little bit. We got to see it. But really, this movie just needed more time to really set that precedent. So, all right, let's get into rating. If you don't know my rating systems, I do it 1 out of 5. I kind of do a tier system, and then I do plus minus if I'm leaning any sort of way. I would say this movie out of 5 is a 4. That's great. Or in this case, fantastic. I think it's in there. I don't know if it's a 4-. And when I say 4-, I don't know if I'm leaning like, oh, it's just a good film. It's not a 4+. It should have been. It should have been at least a 5-. But I think at this point, and yes, the pun is intended, I'm giving Fantastic Four a 4. A solid 4. And that's it. All right, Fantastic Four, I'm giving it a 4. It's a great film. What did you think? Let me know in the comments. Fire back at me. Is this the best movie of all time? Is this one of the greatest MCU films? How do you feel about the MCU now moving forward? Did this movie do it for you? I guess I didn't really answer that. For me, I don't know. I don't know. I think I need more. But personally, yeah. Let me know what you think. I'm going to sign off. Thank you for watching. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off. Don't evolve me. And we done.